This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. LaPorte County government is taking some steps to deal with the coronavirus pandemic, and many counties in Northwest Indiana are following along in similar fashion as fits their particular county. Let's find out about LaPorte County now. We have the president of the LaPorte County Commissioners, Sheila Matias, with us to talk about it. Sheila, thank you for joining us on the program today.
I'm delighted to be here, and certainly it's an important responsibility as a leader to make sure that the public understands why we've taken some additional steps to restrict access into our buildings in order to serve people as best we can during this really unusual and historic pandemic. Mm-hmm. We are really trying hard. No one really likes to do these kinds of things. By reducing public access to our buildings, we are focused on keeping our employees safe because they have a lot of essential functions, but we also want to keep the public safe. And so by reducing access to our buildings, we're hoping that this is another step in stopping the spread.
Mm-hmm. Sheila, if you will give us an assessment, please, from what your county health department officer and other people with the staff have told you as to how the COVID-19 situation is in LaPorte County today?
Well, to be really frank, all across Northwest Indiana, COVID has really gotten a grip on our communities. It is an insidious virus, and the steps that government officials, private organizations are taking are really intended to not serve as impositions, but to really make sure that people are able to access the services they need while we are trying to reduce the risk to public health. Now, you know, on a personal note, I know people who've had COVID. Some have had mild cases, but some have had very, very serious cases. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a difficult time for everyone. But, you know, if you think back to World War II and other times in our American history where we faced tough situations, people pulled together. They worked as a community. They were strong together. They built victory gardens. Women went into factories while the men were off to war, and they built, you know, planes and ammunition. You know, we as a people, as Americans, we're strong, we're tough. But this virus is also strong and tough, and we have to pull together. So we call it the four pillars here in LaPorte County. Wearing masks over your nose and your mouth is something that the data proves, the CDC has proven, medical experts have told us. It's not a political statement. It's a health statement. Mm-hmm. And right now, this is not a political issue. This is a human issue.
I know the health department, and in particular, Dr. Ducey, the health officers followed through and actually put out an order that the mayors, as well as county elected officials, have requested from the health department. Will you run down the list of things that folks in LaPorte County should be aware of as based on this special order that's now in effect?
Absolutely. So last week, all of the government leaders met together, obviously via Zoom, and shared the common concerns that we had and the issues, and met with Dr. Ducey, our chief health officer, who is mandated by the state to be able to have that authority to make public orders. So we have gone from any event over 25 people has to have 50 people. Mm-hmm. We are not in the red quite yet. We're still in the orange. So our social events are limited to 50 people. If you have an event that's over 50 people, you need to meet with the health department and get a specific permission. They will ask for a health plan, and then they will consider whether your organization or your event is able to meet the needs of public as far as the precautions go. The governor's mask mandate remains in full force and effect for both employees and patrons of any establishment that includes restaurants and bars and big box stores, grocery stores, all that. The indoor and outdoor capacity for bars and restaurants are emphasizing the CDC's social distancing guidelines. We have banned self-serve buffets and salad bars. We have asked that there is no more karaoke because we have it has been proven that loud singing and all of that expands the range for the virus, which is an airborne virus. Mm-hmm. Maximum party size at tables in restaurants and bars is reduced to 6. Our bars and restaurants and clubs must close by midnight. We have a ban for retail establishments, 2 persons per 1,000 feet. And then for the big box stores that have many, many square foot, they're permitted to have 250 people or less in their establishment at any given time. So we're back to having carts washed, people at doors of our establishments, making sure that we are limiting the access. Gyms and fitness studios, including locker room space, are asked to have strict adherence to social distancing. Libraries, funeral homes, and swimming pools are also asked to make sure that there is social distancing. And then we have gotten great cooperation across all of the government entities, and we have now hired some inspectors from the city of Michigan City and the city of LaPorte who will be working on part-time basis in addition to their regular work to help us with enforcement and compliance. So we have a hotline number, 219-362-2525, and that is for any reports of noncompliance. And so I've encouraged people to call that number, leave a detailed message of something that is bothering you, is concerning, you are seeing lack of compliance, and then our team will go out into the community. We don't want to be draconian in any way, but we really are meeting with business owners and encouraging them to follow the guidelines that we have put forward in the health order. And we're also getting great cooperation from the business community. To be really frank, the chambers, the economic development organizations, everyone is in this together, and they're all helping us get the message out across LaPorte County, the huge county, but across all of our townships and towns and small cities and big cities and rural areas. We are all in this together, and we're working hard to make sure that we're keeping people safe. Our goal is to make sure that we're hunkering down until the vaccine becomes available, and I think that's a very hopeful thing. The vaccine is kind of the light at the end of the rain, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and we're looking forward to having that available to everyone. But in the meantime, innovation is our best friend, and businesses have been really innovative in finding different ways to adjust their business models. So, for example, a cheese company that's not located far from here is having trouble getting enough people in the door to sell their cheese. So they're doing cheese drop-offs. So you can order online. Yeah, I've seen some of our takeout businesses also come up with some really creative ways to help make their business survive. We've tried as a county to do some additional things by having lifeline grants and things like that. But what is amazing about our community across Northwest Indiana is people really care for one another, and this is a time for kindness, looking out for one another, especially as we come into the holidays, and our holidays will be much different. I don't know about in your household, but I have a very big family, but we are all going to be celebrating in our own homes and then using Zoom and perhaps a nature walk to at least spend a little bit of time together in a safe way.
That's great. We're talking with Sheila Matias. She's the president of the LaPorte County Commissioners. LaPorte County government is going to be closing up the county government offices, at least physically, starting Monday. They still have, of course, services, but you'll have to be able to access them online and by phone and doing things by mail. A strange concept, maybe for some, but just the same, it's still working. The Postal Service is out there working. Sheila, what do residents in LaPorte County tell you these days? They're watching, I'm sure, the climbing of the number of cases of COVID-19 in LaPorte County very closely. What kind of response have you gotten so far from residents about the changes that are going to have to take place?
Well, you know, I would have to say at this point, people, they're a little bit COVID weary, I would say. And that's certainly understandable. We are all pretty much fed up with this virus, which has such a stronghold on our normal way of life. And people do want to get back to normal. But what I'm sensing is that we now all know someone who's had COVID. Some of us know many people who've had COVID, and we've seen the impact on families, on sick children, on our sick elders. And there's enough concern that people are more willing than ever to do what they need to do to wear a mask and to limit their comings and goings across the community to just do things for fun. So we're not seeing that much of an impact on perhaps the social functions, because that's already been in place for a while. But what we are seeing is people being more careful. They're really trying to live life as best they can in a new and different way until the vaccine becomes available. But again, you know what? I look for silver linings, to be quite frank. So I was on a Zoom call yesterday, and we talked to people about what is different and what have you learned through this COVID experience. And a lot of people talked about the importance of family, that oftentimes we let our busy, busy, busy life get in the way of actually connecting with people. So people are doing things like painting their child's bedroom with the child helping, learning how to cook, teaching their children their craft, taking more time outside on nature walks. So, you know, I look for the silver linings, and I hope everyone that's listening will also. There are some good things that have happened from during this really dreadful experience, and as a community, we need to continue to pull together.
Now, have you noticed that the folks that are the administrators in nursing homes and the extended and long-term care facilities in LaPorte County, certainly they have extra problems to deal with. Have they been able to make changes enough so that folks, family members in particular, that have folks in these facilities get a chance to visit when they can, as things allow them to do?
Yeah, so we're working closely. We have folks at our health department, registered nurses, who are working very closely with the assisted living and the nursing homes to make sure that they have all the support they need, PPE. They have their processes reviewed by our health department to make sure that they're doing anything that needs to be done to keep their residents safe. Many of them still have not returned to the normal flow from last spring just because they have a high-risk population. High-risk population is anyone who's immune compromised. So there's many of us who are may not be elderly, but also have had surgery or have some other compromising condition. So those are the folks that we're trying to keep safe. And you can't necessarily say that they're all in the nursing homes, but the nursing homes do have a lot of people who have reason to be concerned. And so many families are finding ways to visit their elderly folks through Zoom and FaceTime and other ways to give them the company that they need, because we certainly don't want mental health issues and loneliness to be the order of the day. We want to make sure that people feel the kindness and care of this community for certain.
Sheila Matias is the president of the LaPorte County Commissioners and LaPorte County government, making some major changes, as many counties are, in trying to deal with the increased number of cases of COVID-19 here in Northwest Indiana. Sheila, thank you for being with us with great information, and we hope that next time we talk, it's much better news to pass along.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure to speak with you. My last word is to hunker down and be kind to one another.
This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Last week, Michael Puente invited onto his off-mic program someone who's been involved in the Valparaiso-based tests for a COVID-19 vaccine. Here's the conversation.
Community Hospital in Munster announced that it will be receiving soon a new vaccine from Pfizer. It will be one of five hospitals in Indiana to receive the vaccine. But there are other vaccines that are now in the trial stage, one from Johnson & Johnson. The drug maker is actually recruiting 60,000 participants to take part in a trial for the vaccine. And one of those who is participating is from Northwest Indiana, and this is Mike Hutton. Mike, welcome to Off Mic.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Now, a lot of people may recognize the name Mike Hutton. Mike Hutton is no stranger to longtime readers who know Mike as an award-winning sports reporter with the Post Tribune. He's reported on Notre Dame football, local high school football and basketball. He's done it all. But this is a new role for you, Mike. You're trying to save the world in this.
Yeah, I volunteered to be part of the trial. I just thought, you know, I knew that they needed people. It's not easy to recruit people. And I just thought, you know, I wanted to help out. And so this week I went and actually got the vaccine, or perhaps didn't, because half the people get the vaccine and half the people get a placebo.
So how did you find out about this trial that was going on?
Well, it's in Valpo, and it's through the name of the company is called Binac Research, and actually the doctor that runs it is my brother-in-law. So that's basically how I found out about it. But it's he's been out there kind of, you know, on social media, and he's had a story about him. His particular company, or their research, they're looking to get 1,000 participants from around the area. And so, as you might know, this was the trial. This was one of the this trial was stopped last month for a couple of weeks after someone got sick. It turns out that the person that got sick, it wasn't related to the vaccine, so they just resumed it about 2 weeks.
I see. You know, Mike, I mean, a lot of people, you still hear a lot of people concerned with taking vaccines, and people are saying, look, if a vaccine is available, I'm not taking it. Why do you not have any of those fears? In fact, you're participating in a vaccine that it's in a trial stage right now. Why don't you have any of those fears?
You know, there's a little bit of fear, I guess, when you go in there and, you know, you have to sign off sorts of disclosures, and, you know, they make the risks available to you. But I just feel like, you know, they've already done thousands of vaccines, and they've only had one person that's gotten sick. And that person didn't get sick because of the vaccine. I mean, there's a lot of very strict rules they have about, you know, if people get sick, about stopping or pausing the studies. And, you know, they pay you, too. That's the other thing. You get paid. So there's that incentive, too. And, you know, but, I mean, it's a combination of, you know, hey, I can maybe help humanity. I think it's a very, very low risk that you're going to have, you know, some sort of problem or get ill from the vaccine and see. Yeah, they compensate you. So, it's, you know, those three things, I think, you know, were part of the reason that I decided to do it. Plus the fact that I knew that they were having trouble
recruiting,
you know,
people.
They need volunteers.
Right.
Because there is a lot of fear out there, and there are a lot of people that they don't want to do it, and that's completely okay. I mean, I understand.
Right. You know, Mike, COVID-19 has impacted so many people and so many industries. How has it impacted your ability to do your job as a sports writer?
It's been interesting. I cover football games with a mask on. I can't go into a press box anymore for the most part. I have to sit in stands. I no longer do, I do very few in-person interviews. I probably do 50-50 in terms of in-person than on the phone prior to COVID-19. And as you know, sometimes when you interview a person in person, that you can get get them to open up more. Sometimes you can get a little better interview, but
right.
You know, because of that, because of COVID-19, I don't do it. There's been a lot of cancellations with football games. We sit around all week and we have to monitor who's might be playing and who's not. Obviously, the uptick in the schools has been pretty significant in the last month or so. So it's become very precarious and. You know, going forward, I think basketball is going to be even more of a challenge because it's inside and, you know, it's winter and all the scientists are saying, look, this is going to get worse, not going to get better until we can, you know, get a vaccine out there that works.
Mike, has COVID-19 impacted anybody close to you or, you know, impacted your life in any way?
Yeah, I've had relatives that have gotten it. I've had friends that have gotten it. Wow. I don't know anybody personally that's gotten seriously ill from it or died, which thankfully. But my wife's a nurse, so she was taking care of COVID responders early on. She hasn't been lately. And it's definitely a big part of everybody's life now, and there's just no way around it.
That's right. And I understand that your wife does work in an ICU unit at the University of Chicago Hospitals, correct?
Correct.
How has that impacted just your interaction with your wife? And it's going to be kind of we do know that hospital staffs are just really at stress levels because of the impact of COVID-19's having on hospital systems. How has that made for life in your household?
Initially, early on, it was in the first like 2 or 3 months, like maybe through May, there was a lot of, we sort of tried to keep our distance. Because she was actually working in the COVID unit, and she would come home and she would have to throw her clothes into the washing machine right away. And she, there's a lot of stress for her. Just that's a very difficult situation to be on your feet 12 hours. You have to wear the garments and a lot of the personal protective gear, which can be, you know, really difficult when you're on your feet. It gets hot. You know, it's just not an easy thing to do. But since she no longer, she has actually worked in the COVID unit since I think she's worked once or twice, but since about June. And, you know, I feel comfortable being around her because I know at the University of Chicago, they're very, very good about giving them personal protective equipment.
Right.
They've done a great job. They get the N95 masks. They have plenty of them. They have, it's just been a first rate sort of effort by them to keep their people protected. And there's very strict guidelines that all the medical personnel have to follow in terms of wearing masks and wearing goggles and wearing personal protective equipment.
We're speaking with Mike Hudden, sports writer with the Post Tribune of Northwest Indiana, longtime award-winning writer with the Post Tribune. He's actually a participant in a new vaccine through Johnson & Johnson's. And Mike, when did you take the vaccine?
I took it on Tuesday. So, let me just tell you a little bit about it. So, with what you, the study is 2 years long. And the only thing that you have to do is take the vaccine. I mean, the only sort of invasive part of it is taking the vaccine. And after that, they give you a diary that you have to use. You have to fill out every Tuesday or Monday and Thursday, and that you basically have to take your temperature and record your symptoms. If you have symptoms, you have to record them. And if not, you just say you don't have symptoms. And then you have to go for a follow-up in 4 weeks. And then there's subsequent follow-ups that become less frequent over time. And if they approve a vaccine, so they can't tell you if you're part of the placebo part of the vaccine or part of or if you actually got the vaccine until the study is over. However, there's the Pfizer vaccine, which is out in the market, which apparently in preliminary studies at 90% success rate, seems like it's going to be hitting the market in the next month or two.
Right.
If that becomes available, then they will tell the participants right away whether they actually got the vaccine or didn't, so they can be eligible to go and actually.
Have you felt any symptoms or anything as a result of taking the vaccine?
No symptoms at all. Yeah. None for me.
All right. So. What do you tell people who, of course, Pfizer is coming out, like you said, with their vaccine, they're saying that's a 90% success rate. What do you tell people who are apprehensive of taking a vaccine? Obviously, you have some apprehension, but you're actually even in this trial period. Do you think it's worth taking? And let's say it comes back that you actually took the placebo, then would you take the actual vaccine if you think that it's effective?
Absolutely. I'll take once it's approved and out there, I'll take the vaccine. You know, I just think that we got a lot of science and, I guess about 100 years of, developing vaccines for certain diseases and, I just think that I just trust the scientists. That's all. I mean, that's all I can say. I just trust the scientists and the doctors. I always get a flu shot every year.
Wow. You're better than me.
Yeah, I get a flu shot. I mean, well, my wife's a medical professional. Like, she's required to get a flu shot. Yeah. It's a big part of our sort of something that we emphasize and.
All right. Well, Mike Hudden is a sports reporter with the Post Tribune of Northwest Indiana. Mike, thank you so much for joining us here today on Off Mike.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Off Mike can be heard at 11 o'clock on Fridays here on Lakeshore Public Radio.
This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. That's it for Regionally Speaking for today. I'm Chris Nolte. Tomorrow on our program, we have reporters Hannah Reed and Joseph Pete to tell us about the stories that they've written and printed online, and Lakeshore Public Radio's Sharon Jackson. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow.